Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. I'm your host, John Lossworth. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
I just want to say thank you guys for sending me the, you know, five-year anniversary cards, because as you all know, this is the fifth year since I escaped from prison. As you all know, I used to be a cop, and I was wrongfully in prison, and I met up with this other cop. We were both wrongfully in prison, and in this jail, they, you know, they wanted to kill us. So you basically can't escape from this place, but we, you know, we got sleeveless shirts. There was a lot of rain, but we escaped. And then we were later exonerated because, you know, some greedy guy, you know, did the whole thing, of course. But thank you guys for the cards. Like, it means a lot.
So you got my Ziggy card.
I got what?
You got my Ziggy card.
Yeah, I got your Ziggy card.
All right.
Thank you.
I thought you were actually quoting the Spice Girls, like, when they say, Zigga, Zig, ah, and like that.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that, loving it. That's a pretty obscure Spice Girls reference, actually. Why did you know that?
Are there any mainstream Spice Girls references?
Yes, I don't know, nowadays, John Lemongood. Why don't you give me another Spice Girls reference?
I just got to spice up my life. Ooh. Don't they have a song? Spice up your life.
I'm pretty sure they do.
You are less credible than Posh Spice's breasts.
I almost just sang...
Is that a good or bad thing?
I almost just sang a Backstreet Boys song thinking it was... Spice Girls. But to be fair, I just watched her documentary with my wife Megan on Netflix. Show them what you're made of or something like that. Show them what you got. It's a good doc. If you're from the 90s and you listen to everyone in this room on this podcast, listen to the Backstreet Boys.
I own their first three albums. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. This documentary is pretty good.
It's like worse than all. Him, right?
Did they talk about AJ's drug problem?
Yeah, dude. Like they go deep and they go back to where they came from. They talk about like where they're going. It's like a good documentary, man. Like so. Watch it, guys.
I will say their songs are pretty catchy. That's the first time I've ever admitted that to anyone. I don't listen to it often.
I can sing almost their entire first album.
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah, if you're from the 90s and like you're in high school in the 90s, it was everywhere.
They
you
just
know
had
I mean?
That. It wasn't off their first album, but it just had that incredibly catchy song. I Want It That Way when I came out.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, ugh. Like, you hated it because, like, you secretly, deep down, you liked it, but you didn't want to, like, let anybody know. So whenever, like, the song came on the radio, like, you heard in the store, you were just, like, silently humming to yourself.
Mark and I both know that when that starts, like, Lazabeth was like, well, how to start? Wait, now I can't think. Like,
wait, yeah. You are my fire. Yeah, so, like, dude, you know what was good, though? Like, I was, like, a big... kid for high school, so like I was always like a bigger guy, so I could like sing those like Backstreet Boys without really having to worry about like repercussions, like people going, hey Mark, you're a nerd. I'd be like, yeah, what are you gonna do? Then I just go back singing it, and they're like, man, we can't mess with Mark and he's singing Backstreet Boys, because I was like a ruffian singing.
Did you have the Backstreet Boys hairdo? Like
I this hairdo I have right now, I've had for I mean, it's growing out, whatever, but that's too much work to have that hair. Like,
did you ever get involved in the Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC wars?
There's no war. There's no war. One member from Backstreet Boys could take on all of NSYNC back then.
Really?
That's right.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Justin Timberlake is awesome now, and he's been awesome for a long time. But back in his NSYNC days, he and five other JTs couldn't handle one Backstreet Boy.
Yeah. I don't know.
If this was like a West Side Story fight between the Jets and the Sharks, who won in that one? The Backstreet Boys would win.
Backstreet.
They're still together, man. They're still touring. They're the Rolling Stones.
Aren't they going around with like New Kids on the Block?
Yeah,
and
but see,
a band from our youth.
Like, how about this? They're the Rolling Stones versus Beatles. NSYNC had a few massive albums, right? People are going to be screaming at their computer right now. But the Rolling Stones are still touring. I just went to a Rolling Stones show, and the Backstreet Boys are still touring. So, I mean, on a micro level, just think about it like that. Backstreet Boys are still around like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, which is more you can say for NSYNC. I think it's just Justin Timberlake these days doing his own thing.
He's crushing it, though.
I found a picture the other day. It's like, we have to start focusing on global warming now because we need to leave a good world for Keith Richards.
That dude will never die.
That concert was amazing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You went to a Rolling Stones concert earlier this year.
You know, you buy the $40 shirts, the $12 Sweetwater, 420 beers, you know, and like you just jam out to your favorite Rolling Stones song.
So Mick Jagger still got moves like Jagger.
Oh, dude, it's unbelievable. And you know what? I went to an Aerosmith show, and they were like pushing some album they had out called Honkin' on Bobo, which is like their blues album. So I was like really excited to go to an Aerosmith show. And then they're like, we're going to be performing Honkin' on Bobo. And you're like, What's Honkin' on Bobo? Where's Crazy? You know, like, where's like Janie's Got a Gun? And then they like bust out a harmonica and like, you know, they played the hits, but it was mostly Honkin' on Bobo. It was terrible.
So the Rolling Stones knew what the audience wanted.
Yeah, they're not honking on Bobo.
Okay. No, that's good. I think that's just good life advice. Don't ever honk on Bobo. Okay. Enough Rolling Stones / boy band talk. That's a weird sentence to say. Mark, why don't we start off the show like we do every week with listener questions?
Wait, did John get introduced?
Oh, I did. Introduce
him. I'm here.
Oh, my bad. Sometimes our first talks go so long, I forget about it.
I introduced them.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
So by the way, I got a call from our search engine optimization department, and I found something interesting about our search terms, Mark, that we need to kind of like think about for our future article writing and podcasting topics, and that is that one of our most popular search engine terms, our second most popular search engine terms that got people searching for us,
what,
to our website yesterday, was in fact, and this is not, I'm not kidding, it was in fact old horror football movies. Now, a couple things came to mind, okay? So I did a Google image search because I just figured it had to be that, for old horror football movies. And nowhere in the first few hundred images did I see anything that I could even mistake for our website. But then I did a Google regular search, and I found that the fourth hit, if you put in this exact search, is Mark's horror football fantasy football team post from like 2 or 3 years ago. It's the third post, and it's the only post that in any way intermixes horror with football on the whole first page of Google results.
Yeah.
And all I can think, though, is when you put in this search and you want a horror movie with football in it, did you really need to add the word old to the search?
Yeah.
Obviously. It's working, right?
There's a movie called The Undead Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds that I don't know about.
I guess The Faculty is the only one I can think of.
That's from 1998. Yeah, they had the football, or 97 or 98, that had football players in it.
Jeepers Creepers 2 have a football team?
It might have been like a bunch of football players on that school bus.
Yeah,
themselves,
and like, and if one of the final destinations, I'm sure had a jock.
Oh, that one really angry guy.
But like
jocks,
I just,
are always angry.
It's like if you were searching, oh man, there's this football movie that was a horror movie. There's this horror movie with football in it that I really want to find. Let's narrow the search down so I don't get inundated with results. Old football horror movies. It was perfect timing for this week.
Perfect. Nice. Love it. Yeah. And thank you to the MFF SEO Basement Laboratory. We know we don't feed you or pay you, but we give you occasional sunlight. So thank you for...
To pull back a curtain a little bit, whenever I upload each episode of this podcast, one of the tags I always use is Kurt and Russell. So...
You just do that for every episode, even if like you don't remember, you just assume that we talked about Kurt Russell.
Yes, it's like the first like tags I use. So whenever,
so in this episode, this is already insurance. When you say that, it's insurance that you know that that tag will do it justice because we're talking about Kurt Russell right
basically,
now.
Basically, if you go to iTunes and search Kurt Russell, movies, films, and flicks should show up. Always.
I wonder if when he played football, Kurt Russell, if the cheer was Kurt. Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like Kurt Russell needs to be cheered on.
So. It sounds like a Bring It On kind of cheer. It's like your mustache's not as good as ours because you are not Kurt Russell. We're Kurt Russell. We're
hey, Kurt Russell. Another touchdown by Kurt Russell. That's 780 yards in the first quarter.
Al Bundy has nothing on Kurt Russell.
Yeah. One scored 7 touchdowns in a single game.
Kurt Russell, I scored 42 touchdowns in the first half.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
He actually did. Yeah. It's weird.
I only have one eye, too.
And the alternate.
And no sleeves. All right. Mark, let's do listener questions.
Oh, gosh. Yes. All right. So the first question comes from our very own MFF Lothario, VJ. He is he's a stalwart of our crew. He is... the man above all men. He is the man who can spill beer onto a carpet and it disappears immediately. So his first question is, what horror film characters would you like to see battle? So kind of like, you know, Freddy versus Jason. So what horror film characters would you like to see battle? Now, for me, The most terrifying thing on the planet would be the Thing from The Thing versus Pennywise from It. You have two shapeshifters, clowns, and like the grossest, most squishy practical effect demon monster of all time, switching bodies and becoming spiders and gross things and attacking each other. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say the troll from Ernest Scared Stupid versus the versus the bridge troll from Troll Hunter.
I really like how you went double troll. Yeah. Went double troll.
Yeah, and for me, it's like some of those trolls were nice. You know, Levengood, like, you know, I don't want that troll from Ernest beating up a nice troll. That's just kind of sick. You know what I'm saying? But that bridge troll was a jerk. So I have no problem with two jerks fighting each other. So you have like this squat troll that like has no problem turning children into wood. Then you have another troll who is just under bridges and like smashing people. So I think it would just be like a war of like, I think what would happen is the big bridge troll would just throw the little guy everywhere, and then he would tire himself out because he's only under a bridge. You can't get much cardio when you're just stuck under a bridge. And then eventually the little troll, Trantor, would just win after like a very long battle because the other troll would turn into stone.
Yeah.
Boom.
You know, I think that bridge troll from Troll Hunter was misunderstood, though. As I recall, man, he didn't get mean until after the guy who worked for the federal troll department stuck his giant syringe into that troll's leg because he needed to get a blood sample.
No, he was a jerk. That one was a jerk.
I guess he could have reacted differently than literally hitting the guy and knocking him 30 feet. But
he could have been like, listen, you're trying to help me. Like, you know, there's a lot of like bridge trolls, all right? But that one's like the worst. You know what I mean? Like, he's the jerk. You know what I'm saying?
That thing was pretty scary, though. When you mentioned those more than one troll, I immediately thought of the cave troll from Lord of the Rings. But when I really think about it, that troll is just conventionally tough, and it wouldn't be as fun to see it in a fight as Trantor, who's ridiculous to me, and the bridge troll from Troll Hunter, which was like animal. It was animalistic.
I mean, this is the greatest fight ever, guys.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so I actually went where I like what you thought you were going to zig and then you zagged. No, I zigged. I went with the Thing.
Wait, did you zig a zig a
zig a zig? Ah,
oh, you had to bring it back.
So I went with, oh my god, I went with the Thing versus the alien xenomorphs. And as it turns out, both of them can be in you without you knowing it. And that's kind of like, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends, and you don't know if they're infected or not. So I started thinking about that, and I'm thinking, like, okay, there are so many ways that, like, the power geeks listening are going to tear me apart. But I already kind of tore myself apart with this idea, and that's like...
Oh, you're tearing yourself apart, just like the Backstreet Boys.
Just like the...
Oh, was that NSYNC?
That's NSYNC.
Well, whatever.
Well, like, so both of these things, they do something superficially similar, and that's that when one of them infects you... the other things of your species or your army or your fighting force don't necessarily know that you're infected until later.
So you're eating dinner and it explodes out of your chest.
I'm just saying, like, yeah. Now the thing is a little better because it's immediately combatant when it makes its change. But the xenomorphs, it just breaks your soul when you see poor John Hurt spitting up his Chinese food at dinner. And like life stopped for those people. But I was just thinking, like, so is the thing, is it like infectable? If the thing affects someone, like one of the characters in the movie, the thing, if it infects someone and they haven't totally changed over yet, right? It hasn't dominated their DNA enough yet. Like, and an alien impregnated it. What happens? Like, I started wondering. Like,
it's a terrible day.
Does the thing contaminate the DNA of the alien? Or since the alien is bioengineered to infiltrate humans, is it immune to all the viruses, bacteria, and yeasts, et cetera, on planet Earth? Because the engineers made the humans, and they put these aliens on the planet expecting them to live, so they know they'll survive all the viruses and bacteria and everything. So maybe by whatever means that the thing infiltrates human cells, the xenomorphs are immune. And then I started thinking, so maybe the thing can't infest the xenomorphs, but can the xenomorphs infest the thing's hosts? And maybe it's just a free-for-all where humans are caught in the middle like an AVP.
Maybe they just both take like a side. Like, you take his left side, I'll take his right side.
Like, they share?
Yeah, why not?
They're like, look, I'm gonna get into this, like, crazy guy's DNA.
You ever see the Matt Damon, Greg Kinnear movie, Stuck on You?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that type of situation.
So when the thing starts to take over, yeah, it's just gonna pull the Greg Kinnear away from the Matt Damon and then grow spider legs and crawl away.
Or maybe it's like another Fairly Butters movie, Me, Myself, and Irene. They just take turns taking over the personality of someone.
Yeah. Well, when the alien takes so just bursts out of his chest
to figure out who's the kingpin of the body.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think this would be a fun kind of pandemonium, though.
I just don't see, like, if that alien's in your body, no little thing is going to kill it. It's like, I'm here. If you mess with me, I'm full of acid and you're dead. Like, you know what I mean?
I feel like I'd rather be dead in that scenario.
The alien's going to win every time. That's just my thing. Once that facehugger gets in, it plants a little acidic monster in your belly. That thing from another planet has no idea how to deal with that. That's just my two cents. And also, I want to see Alien. I want to hear it, like, the sound effects recut to where the alien bursts out of the chest and is like, woohoo! And they just, like, you know what I love about that little alien? He escapes and he's like, yeehaw! And he gets out of there. Like, oh, never mind.
You mean Spaceballs?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about in Aliens. Like, when it busts out, it's like, hello! But no, I love that question, though. Who wins, the alien or the thing or the alien?
Yeah.
I'd have to put more thought into it, so I'm going to have to, like, I'm just going to have to say the troll from Ernest Scared Stupid.
It's going to win in Thing versus Alien.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. For my answer, I think we talked about it in an earlier podcast, but I would love to see, like, the gremlins take on the critters. Yeah. It'd just be fun to watch, like, these little guys go at it. Like, it'd be just really cute, you know. What's that old Mitch Hedberg joke? Like, the cutest infestation would be like a koala infestation.
My house is infested with koala bears.
I feel like that would just be adorable to watch. Like, to watch, like, these little guys just go at it. Like,
just like fur and cute little things, electric gremlin flying everywhere.
Like when it's 3-on-3 and they get in like a compound grapple, it looks like the Tasmanian devil. It's like a dust cloud with all these like limbs flying out of it.
Okay. And I had like another scenario in mind. I wanted to take like kind of like one of the famous immortal horror monsters, like Michael Myers or Jason, and pit one of them against Death from Final Destination. I think it would be hilarious to watch a movie where Death would just like try to kill these guys like the whole time. Like, Jason's walking down the street, he gets hit by a bus. He just gets up, keeps on walking.
He just gets up, yeah.
Yeah, throughout the movie, Death is just like getting like more and more frustrated. And you can tell because like the the death attempts are getting more and more vicious. Like by the end of the movie, like he's dropping nukes like all over Jason, but he keeps surviving. It's like,
you know, I see how this is going to go though. So what's going to happen is like when he hits him with a bus, some people accidentally die on the bus that shouldn't have died. And then Death now owes a few lives.
At that point, then, though, he doesn't care. Like, he just wants to kill Jason.
But then Jason is supposed to already be dead. So if he kills any you know, promiscuous drug-using teenagers, they weren't supposed to die. So now Death owes even more lives.
Yeah.
And, like, by the end of the movie, Jason wins because God just has to step in and be like, look, Death, you, like, owe me 200 lives. Like... This is getting out of hand. Like, no one is dying on planet Earth for the next 30 minutes because of you. I don't care if there's a tsunami. You don't get any of those poor Asian people who are suffering from the tsunami over there. They're all going to live because you screwed up this Jason scenario too badly.
Death, you literally blew up Ohio.
Just to get to this one guy.
And he's still walking around. I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my answer.
All right.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I would have thought of anything like that.
I am going to steal that and claim that it's my own.
Go for it.
And, you know, I read a thing on my cousin Daniel wrote something on Facebook today. He's like, hey, do we have to wake up that guy in that Green Day song now because it's October 1st?
Oh, yeah.
You know, wake me up when September ends. I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny. We got to wake that guy up now. But all right. So the next question is by Jay, the man of few words, the man who's been in like three of my short films and never said anything. And when he did, he was drunk. And his question is, who has the best cinematic mustache? And so, you know, you got to think about like Tom Selleck, Burt Reynolds. But I'm not thinking that. I'm going to talk about Mark Ruffalo from the film Safe Men. It's about these two thieves who are mistaken for another two thieves by Paul Giamatti, and his name is Veal Chomp. And Mark Ruffalo is one of the thieves, and he has this mustache. And, you know, in the movie, he mimics Say Anything with the boombox and everything. But there's a scene where Mark Ruffalo is looking around for, like, soap to send a nice gift basket. And Sam Rockwell and Steve Zahn meet him, and they look at Mark Ruffalo, and they're like, sweet stash. And he goes, thanks, bro. Like, so I just love Mark Ruffalo going, thanks, bro. So the Swedish stash goes to Mark Ruffalo from Safe Men.
Nice.
What's funny is that I simultaneously was thinking, that doesn't sound anything like Mark Ruffalo, your impression. And then at the very same time, I was thinking, that is probably as close as anyone can get to sounding like Mark Ruffalo.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. I love Safe Men. If you haven't watched Safe Men, find it now. It might be on. I think it's on Netflix. Safe Men.
That's a surprisingly good movie. I never heard of it until I saw it at like Blockbuster.
It is. I bought it on VHS, and then you know, I've worked my way up. But yeah, I mean, the cast in that is amazing. So yeah, who do you got? Who's the mustaches coming up here?
Go ahead, Living Good.
Okay, so the first thing I thought of was absolutely not Justin Long from Tusk.
Aww.
And then the second thing I thought was Kurt Russell from Tombstone. But then I realized, like, I just saw the Hateful Eight trailer, and the reason that I liked Tombstone was that he had such a huge mustache and he pulled it off. Like, it was so big, it looked like it should have been weighing down his head, and he pulled it off. But then when I saw that he did it again in Hateful Eight, like, now it's not as novel to me. Like, he's done it more than once, so it's his thing, and now it's not striking me. But I just saw the movie Cooties, which is the new horror comedy with Rainn Wilson and Jorge Garcia, and Lee Wannell, who wrote it, is also in it. The guy who wrote the Insidious and Saw movies, or the screenplays, and Elijah Wood. And so I saw that. But Rainn Wilson from The Office, right, he's in it. And when you first see him, he has, like, a handlebar mustache that is ugly, like Justin Long's mustache is ugly in Tusk. Like, that mustache didn't work. So this mustache, I'm looking at Rainn Wilson, I'm like, oh, God, I almost want to throw up in my mouth. That's such an ugly handlebar mustache. But the way he dominated every scene is like an over-testosterone-fueled elementary school jockish gym teacher. He just melodramatically owned that handlebar mustache with more resolve than anyone had any business doing, including, like, doing a football play run while tackling and stiff-arming and fake-spinning kids. So I'm going to go with Rainn Wilson for cooties for his handlebar mustache.
We got some unique ones going. What do you got, Lazbeth?
Okay, I'm going to go with a completely random one. Obviously, the one I wanted to pick was Kurt Russell from The Hateful Eight, but I'm just like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do any Kurt Russell stuff.
That's Did I just one. Scare you away from it?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm going to go with a completely random one. I'm going with Sean William Scott from Old School. Yeah. He had a very, very short cameo in Old School with the with the trank gun. Well, I think it was the movie. That scene was hilarious because, you know, Will Ferrell, yes. Will Ferrell shoots himself in a jugular like a Mexican tranquilizer. But I think what sold the humor in that scene for me was Sean William Scott and his mustache. It was just I think he just sold the character so well, and I think what played a big role in that was that mustache. Like, that scene would not have been as funny if Sean William Scott did not have that really fake looking mustache. And he had the mullet too.
Yeah, the mullet.
And it was just the addition of that mustache really kind of put over the top. Because that mustache wasn't there, it wouldn't be half as funny.
Yeah, he was perfect. Didn't he go, yes?
Yes!
That's awesome!
Yes. And Will Ferrell just starts spacing out.
You're crazy, man.
Remember when Will Ferrell gets shot in the neck, right? And he's being tranquilized, and you can see that not only is he being sedated very quickly, but his senses are going. And so when you hear him, and he's like, you just got shot in the neck. And Will Ferrell's like, wait. Wait. Wait.
Yes. No, you know what's even awesome? Is that after he pulls Will Ferrell out of the pool, he starts giving mouth to mouth, and Will Ferrell's just Frenching him.
Yeah.
Sean William Scott's ugh! He put his tongue in my mouth and kicks him back in the pool.
Yeah, at that moment, he was Stifler.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Sean William Scott is... He should be a bigger actor, man. And I know, John, I know what you think about this movie, so don't say anything. But Goon is one of my favorite films of all time. And watch it. It's on Netflix. Watch it. Sean William Scott, Liev Schreiber, hockey movie. The dude is pure gold. And he has a fantastic mustache that sells jokes when people get tranquilized.
Well, here's my theory on why Sean William Scott isn't bigger. He just got typecast as Stifler.
Yeah.
You know, American Pie just launched his career, but at the same time, it also kind of stunted it. In certain ways.
And, you know, I'll give it to, I'm not a huge fan of Goon. I enjoyed the movie, but I never feel the urge to watch it again. But I will say that, everything Mark ever wrote, and he wrote a few times about it in articles on movies, films, and flicks, but everything he ever wrote about that character, I am in complete agreement. He's this really likable, sweet, tough guy who does like to throw down in the hockey arena, but he's just the most sincere, sweet guy. You want to have him as your sweet bro friend.
Talking about movie gets me emotional because I love that movie, man. I think it's great. And this is a little aside, I haven't told anybody this, but I was an extra on that movie American Reunion. You can see me, I'm pouring wine during a dinner party and walking through the background, but that no one could pour wine, so they're like, who can pour wine? And I'm like, I can pour wine. So they had they had went through three people who couldn't pour wine, then they put me in. And then the ADR'd a line in my mouth, tell me when. But this was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. But I was in the back, and, you know, you wait in between takes, and Sean William Scott was standing right next to me. And for some reason, we started talking about the movie Bronson with Tom Hardy. So nice. I'm on the set of American Reunion talking Bronson with Sean William Scott. So I don't know. I was like, I like this dude. He's a nice guy. He just seemed happy to be there. So, you know, I've worked on so many sets since then, you know, behind the scenes, and not many actors are like that. So, the dude won my respect.
Even when he's playing that douchebag Stifler role, there's something very likable about him.
Yeah, and I think those are the best douchebags, right?
Yeah.
I think Bill Murray mastered that, too. He's he can play a very likable douchebag.
It's two extremes. You're playing a douchebag, but you're also someone everybody wants to root for. That takes a master to do that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so Mexican tranquilizers and Sean William Scott. I think that's the answer to that question, right?
Yes, that's awesome. Yes. That's you know what? That's you just brought back a fun memory that I hadn't thought about in a long time. I love that movie.
Oh, I do.
My cousin Ryan and I quote the wait, wait, wait. We quote that multiple times a year. I'm not kidding. It comes up every year in our life.
Wait. I think that was the beginning of the frat pack kind of movies.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, all those guys. With Todd Phillips and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, good times. All right. Time to move on to the topic of the day. Levin Good, I'll hand it off to you.
So,
oh, literally hand it off.
Yeah, hand it off because today's topic is related to football, just like our search engine optimization reference from earlier on. But so it's September 1st today while we're recording, and you know we're almost a full month into football, and now that we've started, people start talking about their favorite teams and next week's games. And a couple weeks ago, I even made a kind of lame joke against the Seminoles and in favor of the Florida Gators, DeMarc. I think that's 2-3 episodes back. And so people are starting to think football. And if you think football and you're a movie fan, you find yourself in some interesting conversations at times. So Mark and I were going back and forth about actors as football players in reality and sort of a fantasy version of fantasy football conversation. And then we realized, like, if you watch a football movie, you actually begin to kind of question if that actor could legitimately do that role. Like, some actors are doing their own stunts. Some actors are already ripped or getting ripped for these roles. You wonder if Paul Walker or James Vanderbeek really have that arm to be quarterback in Varsity Blues. You tell yourself that The Rock was so huge in Pain and Gain, he'd probably make a good defensive tackle, even better than he was when he was actually playing for the Hurricanes for like one season. And, you know, you find yourself in these situations, and it came up, and I think Mark suggested it, that, you know, we should probably do a movies, films, and flicks fantasy football draft. And today, that's exactly what we're going to do. All of film is free game for our draft. Each of the three of us get 5 picks, and we will be taking turns. We don't know each other's picks. We can do steals. And I guess, guys, we need to, just like a coin toss at the beginning of a game, we need to rationalize who gets first pick, because there's a lot at stake today.
Okay. How do we do this?
I can flip a coin. I got coins right here.
I like it. So, right.
I say John goes first because he got ambushed with this, and then it's between you and me for second pick.
All right.
I've got a coin. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I got a coin. You call it, and I'll flip it, and I think you'll even hear it hit my desk.
All right.
Okay, heads. You call. Heads. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
All right. It fell. Let me see here.
Well, about SEO people get it later.
No, the SEO people get it. I got tails.
All right.
Mark, you are third pick. Lazaveth is first pick. We'll do about 3 picks before we go to ads and our next listener question. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Sounds like a game plan. Get it?
Yeah, game plan.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
Flag on the play.
Yeah. Jesus, I'm taking myself out again.
All right, so remember that commercial where the referee's like, does anybody have change for a dollar?
Was that like an Allstate ad before?
Yeah, I love that. That
mayhem guy.
That poor referee.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, right. Lazaveth, tell us about what your goal is. What are you looking for in a first pick?
Let's see. I think I'm starting off with the most important position of any football team. That's the quarterback.
Your team isn't doing a rebuilding year if you need a football a quarterback.
No, this is a fantasy draft. We're all rebuilding. So. Okay. The quarterback is the captain, the leader, the heart and soul of the team. That might be giving them too much credit. But only one person that came to mind for my quarterback.
That's... Don't you say Chris Evans because you said captain.
No. I'm going Bill Murray.
You know, Bill Murray?
Yeah. No, hold on. You know, at first glance, he's not the most athletic, or I don't think he even works out at all, ever. But no, I feel like he's the most cerebral, like, person available for the position, you know? Like, you could just, like, I can imagine just him, like, in the shotgun, hiking the ball, and then just, like a defensive lineman is coming at him, and then Bill Murray just makes, like, a sarcastic comment, and it just, like, jukes him out, and just slyly just flips the ball Brett Favre style, to the end zone.
So this is going to sound random, but my pick for quarterback was Bill Murray from Space Jam.
Really?
But I have extra, so I won't do it. Because he steps into an intergalactic basketball game at halftime and does a couple good assists and puts them back into the game. This guy goes up against monsters, passes a ball to a duck.
Wasn't he wearing a weird hat?
Yeah.
No, but he had weird trousers, and the duck was messing with his trousers, and Bill Murray goes, "Stop messing with the trousers, duck." So he was my quarterback.
Now, I'm imagining that Lazarus should be going with, like, Groundhog Day Bill Murray because he knows what's going to happen.
I'm going with all-encompassing Bill Murray. I don't know if that's cheating or not, but I'm just like...
I've laid down no rules other than, essentially, we only get to pick the one guy once. So, you got the steal from Mark.
Bill Murray can also, he can also put up a fight. You know, Ned Ryerson. Ned? Yeah, so that's my pick, Bill Murray, for quarterback.
Can I just say, it seems like Bill Murray has very pervasively infested our podcast the last few episodes, like Kurt Russell did from episode one. I wonder if this will be a trend that we'll observe in future episodes.
I'm down. I'll talk Lost in Translation for like 2 days.
That's a good
We'll have three podcast episodes about it.
Lost in Translation is one of the movies I like to watch when it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't go to sleep.
Oh, man.
But I'm not saying that's boring. It's just like it's the perfect mindset to be in when you have insomnia. It's late at night. Lost in Translation, for some reason, it just fits perfectly.
It gets me like really emotional. And I remember I watched it and Dirty Doug and I were roommates at the time. You guys all know Dirty Doug. He and I immediately went and bought the soundtrack and I ordered the poster the day of watching Lost in Translation. And then we watched it again the next day. And then there was another time where we bought a case of Keystone Light and we drank an entire case of beer while watching Lost in Translation. Yeah. That's my movie.
Yeah.
With Dirty Doug.
Lost in a case of Keystone Light.
That's right.
Yeah.
At 2002, son. Or 2003.
All right. So you're taking Bill Murray, all-encompassing Bill Murray. It is my pick. And I am looking for a running back, and I want to clone LL Cool J from Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
He might have been my favorite character, not for his integrity or his acting in the movie or anything, but for some reason, the LL Cool J experience from that movie, when he's like yelling at the coach about his contract and hitting his bonus marks with just like this kind of self-inflated passion, not about the game. I don't know. I bought it all. It made me think, like, this really looks like something that could happen with a rich and wants to stay rich football player. And I don't know. And he's just in great shape, too. He's like 6'2 back then, almost 220 pounds. Like, LL Cool J had one of the best bodies in the rap business back then.
And you can't kill him because, like, Deep Blue Sea and Halloween H2O, he survives.
Dude, the way that he dove into that oven, you'd almost want to make him a quarterback because of the way that he can find the pocket.
Yeah, he handles pressure well, that's for sure. And he can take a hit. I mean, he got stabbed like 14 times from Michael Myers.
That's right.
Yeah, Any Given Sunday. Yeah, he was good in that movie, man. That had some bone. You know what I loved about that movie? I didn't pick him, but Dennis Quaid is like the perfect like old quarterback. Like at the time. Yeah. Like he was like the perfect like... You know, Willie Beeman came in, but like you can picture Dennis Quaid at that era being like the perfect, like old school, I'm getting too old for this, Danny Glover quarterback.
You know, on top of that, like just thinking that vein, at that time, right, this came out like around, I want to say 96, 97. And that's around the same time that What Lies Beneath came out, like within a couple years of that, when Harrison Ford, you know, he's also older. Both of them had six packs and pecs in that. They were actually in better physical shape in those two respective movies than in movies that they were in 10 and 20 years earlier. And so nowadays, it's really like cool and normal for all these actors to be like ripped when they're younger. Like, but Hugh Jackman in X-Men, he wasn't jacked. He wasn't jacked until X-Men 2, like when it was getting cool. In part one, he hardly had much of a body.
So you're saying Harrison Ford started the old man rip craze?
Harrison Ford and Dennis Quaid are some of the earlier people that I can really remember that were doing it. And on top of that, they weren't ripped per se before that. They were just thin and muscular and in shape.
Quick question. Is old man rip the same as dad bod? Like, I'm trying
to... No, that's the opposite.
Is it?
Yeah, dad bod.
These are pecs and abs. These guys had like rippling biceps.
Yeah, dad bods are like the dudes you'll find at like an Oasis on the weekend, like drinking beer on a boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like someone told me, like dad bod is like you're ripped, but not really. That's not really a good description. But I'm just like, oh, something like John Hamm, I guess. That's like a dad bod.
I always thought dad bod was like, oh man, I don't know.
I feel like that's like the socially acceptable weight gain after you have like, you know, young preteens or teenagers and you're like 15, 20 pounds overweight. No one's going to call you fat.
Hmm.
Like, yeah. I feel like that's what it is. I feel like I see it on game day on college campuses all the time.
So it's like you work out, but you don't have a six pack. That's a dad.
I don't think you necessarily work out.
Yeah.
To have a dad bod.
You just kind of keep it. You just kind of keep it somewhat slim.
Yeah.
I think dad bod is specifically stating you no longer have that sleek physique.
As long as my shoulders are wider than my waist, I'm good.
Like dad bod is the physique equivalent of mom jeans.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, sorry for the quick digression. Anyway, back to the topic.
I'm sorry. So my pick, LL Cool J, specifically from Any Given Sunday. Not that he can't always kick ass. Mark, your first round draft pick.
All right. So, all right, guys. I have too many to pick from here. I'm just going to go for the most tasteless, obvious joke. And I'm going to do JCVD from any movie, and he'll be like a solid corner on the defense. Because in all of his movies, he's always going for the balls.
Oh.
like when he splits and does a punch to the balls of the
He punches sumos in the nuts. He punches Scottish guys in the nuts.
Yeah, the Scottish guy in Lionheart.
Any movie that Jean-Claude's in, he's going to punch you in the nuts.
And so you're calling him a cornerback, right?
Yeah, so he's great for, you know, he's going to get those balls. Like, he's going to get those interceptions.
It's interesting you picked that because I was curious. I was looking at like average stats in NCAA, not pro, but I was looking at average stats for NCAA football players by position. And as it turns out, a cornerback's average is like 5'11" and a quarter and 180 pounds. And Van Damme is like 5'10" or 5'11". And back in his prime, when he was lean as hell, he was like 175.
Yep, perfect.
But when he was 175, he was practically like a bodybuilder. He could bench 365. That was his high mark.
Yep. So he's out there hitting nuts. Like, stealing ball. The wide receivers would hate him.
And we know from his Bloodsport chase scene in the streets of Hong Kong when he's running away from Forrest Whitaker to Don't Steal the Night that he's fast and he can think on his feet.
That's right. He's got that hot. He has the hot foot, as I like to call it.
That's a good. I like that. JCVD.
Most of mine are obvious jokes. So
whatever. It's a good one.
That's right.
All right, so we got our first round draft pick. Round two, going back to Lazabath.
Okay, round two, I got to pick a running back. I'm going – okay, hold on. Running back for me, a good running back is someone who just – you just can't catch, obviously. So I need somebody who just gave you a good chase. So I went with Paul Walker, you know. You know, obviously, like, you know, the obvious, like, example is, like, you know, Fast and Furious movies. Like, you just get in the car and just, like, outrun you. But the specific movie I want to use is Running Scared.
That's what I was just
yeah. If you've ever watched that movie, it's an intense suspense thriller. It's insane. But the entire movie, Paul Walker is basically running for his life and also just to save his family. And it's just... His performance in that movie was amazing. It's one of his most underrated performances. It's worth checking out, and that's why he's my running back. Because he's running scared. He's running scared.
Perfect.
For me, that's my number one performance of his.
Yeah. The Hours, man. Hours is my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, all right, cool. That movie's fantastic.
There's a scene at the end of Hours when, like, the final scene of that, after I knew what happened to Paul Walker, like, Megan and I were just sitting there, like, almost, like, in tears at the final Paul Walker moment. But, yeah, Running Scared is awesome because he's the best at freaking out. In that whole movie, he's freaking out.
Oh, he gets beat up so bad in that movie.
Yeah, Man. That's a perfect running back. And I picture the look on his face, like, oh, crap. But no one can tackle him. All right, so let's say they're on the 30-yard line, right? And he gets a touchdown, but he would probably run 140 yards. Yeah. You know, instead, like, he would just be sprinting all over the field, being chased by everybody. And, like, touchdown! But, like, he just covered 140 yards as opposed to 30.
I just want to say how tempting it was to pick Tom Hanks with the Forrest Gump connection. You know, because he was a running back back in Alabama. I'm just like, no, that's too obvious. I can't do that.
Hey, he ran through the auditorium. What's going on?
Oh, no. The crowd had to wait to pick up the sign. Stop. Hey, he got a full scholarship, so whatever.
I remember running scared that creepy scene in that house with those two people, like with the shadows.
Was that do you remember the scene with the hockey pucks?
Like, oh yeah, the blood all over the floor and like, oh yeah. Gosh,
that was weird.
It was a pretty hardcore movie. If you've never seen that movie, you're gonna watch it based on this recommendation.
Also about Vera Farmiga before she was big, right? Yeah. Wasn't she his wife?
Yeah.
Oh, she was beautiful in that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, watch on an empty stomach because it's pretty graphic.
Yeah. All right. I love it. That's a perfect pick. All right.
My second pick. So I kind of gave you a little harbinger of it earlier on, and it is in fact The Rock from Pain and Gain, except it's The Rock from Pain and Gain after he did the movie Pain and Gain, because before he did Pain and Gain, like back in his rundown years, he was about 6'4", 250. And then he put on all this muscle later on for Pain and Gain, right? And he looked humongous compared to the old Rock. However, he weighed the same because he was a lot leaner. He put on all that muscle, but then he cut down to look very bodybuilder slim for the movie. So he weighed about the same, but maybe 15 more pounds of muscle. Well, what happens after that movie? And he has one of his Rock epic cheat meal days that we read about on the internet where he eats like 3 pizzas and 2 dozen brownies and all this stuff. Like, is he going to be back up to 285, 300 at the end of a couple weeks of carb loading back up?
So are we talking about that muscle? Carbo loaded after a lean down Rock.
Yeah, it's almost like a bodybuilder after a competition. They get to put on all that weight that they quickly vacuum packed out to be on the stage, right? Because he was so ripped. Well,
it's always been a dream of mine. It's always been a dream of mine to see like a fully loaded Rock just kind of curl up in a ball like at the top of a hill and just kind of roll forward. I feel like that would just be hilarious and also frightening.
Just the Rock rolling down a hill.
Yeah,
less about that because I kind of view him as a defensive back.
Yeah,
less rolling and more just plowing through.
He'd be a good defensive end. You know what I mean? Get like that swim move going.
No, I think that's what he played in college, right? At the University of Miami, defensive end. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is interesting because back then he couldn't have weighed 230, 240, even though he was less lean than even when he started WWE stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So the Rock.
Pain and Gain Rock.
All right, so I have another. My safety would be Kevin Bacon from Hollow Man. Because where is he? Like where?
You know, you just totally space jammed this fantasy football.
You probably can't have cheerleaders.
Not with how he was behaving on Hollow Man.
So I mean. If you're a quarterback, you know, if you're Bill Murray, you're like, he's out there somewhere. Where is he at? You know what I mean? And if this is a fantasy, we had no guidelines. So, I mean, I'm thinking Kevin Bacon because you never, you know, he could miss a play and you wouldn't know. You think a player's wide open, he gets an interception. So between him and JCVD back there, it's going to be a nightmare for any tight ends or wide receivers.
So you're going with Kevin Bacon. I thought you were actually saying who your first idea was. Kevin Bacon's your guy?
Yeah, why not? Where's he going to be?
Yeah.
You can't read the coverage because where is he?
Dude, The Rock is going to spit Gatorade all over him and then tear him up. Yeah. But you know, it occurs to me, we just did 2 of our 5 picks and we also started with 2 listener questions. I feel like maybe we should take a little break, refuel, get some Gatorade, perhaps a beer, and reconvene with the rest of our picks.
And we're going to talk about the merits of the creature from the Black Lagoon as a defensive end with his swim move.
Ooh.
We'll see you guys in a little bit.
I guess that ended the conversation right there.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you in a little bit.
Hey guys, Mark here, and for you the listeners of Movies, Films, and Flicks, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Now, today we're talking about football, and this isn't football, but one of my favorite tennis players of all time is Andre Agassi, and he wrote a book called Open, which is absolutely fantastic. I remember when I was first reading it, I was hanging out on the beach in Florida just reading it, and my wife started kind of reading a book over my shoulder, and about 5 minutes later, I didn't have the book anymore because, you know, my wife was reading it. But it's the kind of book that you don't have to be a tennis fan. You just have to be a fan of somebody that worked really hard and was driven by, you know, a crazy dad. And it's just a book of an American superstar playing tennis. So
To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/shark. Again, that's audibletrial.com/shark for your free audiobook. Make sure to check out Open, an Autobiography by Andre Agassi. You'll love it.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Kyle from Word of the Bay.
And Nick.
And we're here to talk to you about Word of the Bay.
Yeah, Word of the Bay.
Yeah.
What is Word of the Bay?
Well, God, it's a Tampa Bay sports podcast. What is Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay is the Tampa area. St. Pete, Tampa, Clearwater.
So we talk about sports and other things.
Which include Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Lightning, and Tampa Bay Rays.
And another bay, which is slipping my mind.
Oh, I don't even know what that bay is.
Hey, guys, what are you guys talking about?
Oh, nothing. Hey,
Jonathan, this is our third host, Jonathan.
Well, did I just walk in on something?
No, you're fine. But if you want to listen to Word of the Bay, go ahead and go to www.sharkdropper.com
and check us out. Yeah.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. That was I feel really weird. Usually I come back with like some type of quip about what we did previously, but now I'm just coming in with nothing.
You're coming in with the anti-segue.
Yeah, I feel naked. There's no corny segue for me to do.
So, like, segues are, like, really maneuverable. Like, so yeah. You're, like, that was, like, a tank of... No, that you
yeah,
didn't
I
tank
got,
it.
I got nothing.
It's... Yeah, you geometroed this opening.
He furied it.
Yeah. You furied the opening?
Oh, what am I going to do with myself?
This is going to sound random, guys, but I always wanted to get, like, 10 of my buddies together, and there's, like, a IndyCar racing in St. Petersburg. They, like, make a track out of downtown St. Pete. I always wanted to, like, put roll cages in 10 Geo Metros and just have me and my buddies do that race in Geo Metros. Because I can't handle an IndyCar, but I could probably handle a Geo Metro on that course.
It sounds like a low-budget version of Mad Max.
So 10 people driving around a St. Pete Indy course. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
I'm down.
We're all St. Pete folk, we know.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Listener question, Mark.
Yeah, I got it. So this question comes from Donnie Bruschi. He's a listener favorite. Everyone loves him. I mean, the listeners, the readers, people don't listen to the podcast love him. They've just heard about him. So his question is, screw remakes. What movies should be re-released in theaters? So I'm very passionate about this, and I think I have three movies. We already talked about Goon, so I won't cover that. But the first one is Love and Basketball. If you have not watched Love and Basketball, watch Love and Basketball. Love and Basketball is an amazing film. Sanaa Lathan should have been nominated for an Oscar. It's one of the best like love stories you'll ever watch. It is just her performance. I've never I can't get it out of my brain because she became a basketball player. You know, she was like, yeah, Love and Basketball, guys, watch it. And the next one's Big Trouble in Little China, Kurt Russell all day.
Ooh.
Who cares about The Rock? He's not going to be like Kurt Russell. The Rock won't make himself look dumb. So Big Trouble in Little China, and then Take Shelter. Take Shelter is my favorite movie of this decade so far. I don't know if it's my favorite movie of the century, but it is my favorite movie of this decade. Take Shelter is Michael Shannon, Jessica Chastain, directed by Jeff Nichols. His brother's Ben Nichols of Lucero. And it's just a beautiful film about a man who has a history of schizophrenia in his family dealing with these visions. And he's wondering if he's going crazy or if that world's actually going to end. And so I just think, you know, between Love and Basketball, Big Trouble in Little China, Take Shelter should be back in the theaters because they're amazing films.
Take Shelter, that's just from, like, what, 2 years ago?
I think it's 11, so about 4 years ago.
4 years ago? Okay. So, but, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. I mean,
yeah.
Just put it back. You really loved that then.
That movie. All right. So I haven't cried since I watched The Fountain. I had one tear roll down my eye, and I was like, did I just cry? Do I have emotions? And I'm serious. I was like, I think I just cried. That was like a big breakthrough for me because one tear rolled down my cheek. It was like you when you sit in your big old chair drinking your old Rasputin while watching Martyrs with a monocle and tears roll down your eyes.
Oh, dear.
John, the horror Leviathan.
That sounds way too specific.
Yeah. And so... Take Shelter is a beautiful film. It's just about this guy who he doesn't know if he's going crazy or if, you know, but he wants to protect his family. And it's just universal and beautiful. And at the end, there's a song by Ben Nichols, who is of Lucero. And that's one of my favorite bands, you know, just whiskey, motorcycles, and booze. And man, it just talking about it gets me. Like, it just makes me well up because it's the most beautiful acted Midwest. It doesn't pander. There's no Midwest stereotypes. And it's a
beautiful film. Just talk, I have like goosebumps right now talking about it. So between that and Love and Basketball, those are two movies that everybody should watch.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me, the movies that you pick, because, I mean, okay, so to me, you totally explained why you want Take Shelter back in theaters, even though it's only about 4 years old, which shocked me at first, but you've impassioned me. Now I kind of agree. Love and Basketball, to me, is not an old movie. Like, to me, I don't feel like that needs to be re-released in theaters, but it is like 20 years old, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's got to be at least 10. When did AVP come out? 2004?
I think that's right.
Yeah. So it's got to be a little – I think it came out before that, so it's got to be at least 12, 13 years old.
See, like, I actually thought that movie, when you first mentioned it, was in the late 90s. I'm not even sure. But either way, it's at least a decade out.
Yeah.
And that kind of movie I don't normally think of as old, but I realize a lot of our listeners might have totally missed that movie, and it's eclipsed them, and they've never even heard of it. Like, I was thinking more of the Big Trouble in Little Chinas, the movies that are, like, from our youth, if you will, when we're really young and first discovering movies.
Yeah.
And because of that, I actually picked, as it's been mentioned already during this podcast, was The Thing. Because I've seen, and I love horror movies.
It doesn't age. There's no age statement.
And we love Kurt Russell, yeah. And I have said in a lot of my articles, I don't remember if we brought it up a lot in the podcast, but those practical effects hold up. That's right. We were mentioning Harbinger Down and the trailer for that a couple episodes ago. And once I saw that movie, I was kind of disappointed by it. And that movie is 30-plus years after The Thing, and it's basically a remake of The Thing, this Harbinger Down movie.
Yeah.
It's clearly going by the Thing playbook, and it fails to capture it with practical effects, even though everything is so much cheaper now to do.
Let's face it, John. You just like the gushy, gooey, squishy stuff.
Squishy. There's the word that you like associating with. It's true. I do. And that movie was squishy, but it didn't quite match up to The Thing. But the thing is that I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street in theaters in the last decade. I've seen Halloween in theaters in the last decade. I've seen even Escape from New York in theaters in the last decade. I've seen a lot of weird movies when they were doing special, like, Midnight Madness things. Not Midnight Madness, but Midnight Movie Madness kind of things around Halloween. I always jump on that. You know, they show The Goonies. They show The Fog. They show weird movies. I've never even had the choice to try to see The Thing on a big screen. I think that's interesting that of all the movies that, whether or not you went to see it, of all the movies you've seen advertised around Halloween or whenever, or at these little, these chic, smaller theaters when they show old movies, I've never even had the choice to see The Thing on a big theater, because I would have.
You know what, Little Good? Next time you're down in St. Pete, I'll hook you up. I'll call my friends over to movie theater. We'll, after hours, we'll have a whole theater to ourselves. We'll hook up a Blu-ray player to one of the projectors. Then we'll overrun a Thing.
That sounds fun, because
it'll just
I think that
me.
Movie is creepy as hell even today in the dark in my living room.
You know, John and I went, Lasvath and I went to go watch Jaws on the big screen, but they didn't have it, so we ended up watching Animal House.
Yeah.
because those are similar.
Yeah. No, it was still a good time.
Thanks, Beach Theater. It was fun still, but like
that place
you're
is
like,
closed you, now, unfortunately.
Oh, gee, yeah, that was a good spot.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got, Lasvath?
Let's see. Okay, so I'm gonna go random here again, like always. This movie was never released in theaters, as far as I know. But for those of you listening who watched the Disney Channel back in the day, you'll probably recognize this movie. It's called Brink. It's a movie about inline roller skaters. Basically, Lem Good just kind of raised his hands and was are you confused?
is that Airborne?
No, Airborne was the one with Seth Green. Brink was like
Hold on. If you want to talk about a movie with inline skaters or skating at all, you tell me about the Roller Boys from 1985. You don't tell me about Brink.
What's Brink?
Brink was, I'm not saying it was a good movie. It's probably not my favorite movie, but for some reason, I just watched it all the time. It's basically just a group of, like, amateur, or, like, not amateur skaters, but, like, there were skaters who were, like, who just skated for, like, the love of skating versus, you know, the guys who got paid to skate. It was just, like, amateurs versus the pros. And it was just, like, a really basic story. But for some reason, like, I just watched it every time, like, it came on TV. And I don't know. I think I would love to see it in in an actual movie theater, like maybe the movie would be better, like sitting in an actual theater setting. I doubt it,
yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, so that's my pick, Brink.
Can we add Surf Ninjas?
Surf Ninjas? Sure.
That's a movie from my youth that I refuse to watch now, but I remember loving.
I'd watch that. Ernie Reyes Jr. forever.
Yeah.
Didn't they have like the Dalai Lama there? And instead of like Barbara Ann, he's like Barbara Ann. He's like Dalai Lama. Like it's something like he switches Barbara Ann to something to appeal to a dignitary.
Yeah.
And Leslie Nielsen's in it. And
no, no, no. They said Baba Ram.
Oh, yeah. Baba Ram.
Yeah. I don't even remember why it was Baba Ram. I think Baba Ram was what they were calling this high enlightened one in the movie, maybe. But there we go. It was Baba Ram with Ernie Reyes dancing in his kung fu pants.
Yeah, like, this could sound crazy, but I had a basketball injury. I got hit in the head really hard when I was young. And so, you go through all the concussion stuff. And I remember watching that movie on my birthday, but I couldn't really like watch it. So yeah. I had to like listen to Surf Ninjas while I was concussed. I was probably 12, 13 years to 11 years old, something like that. But I remember that experience of laying on the ground listening to it.
And you said you enjoyed that movie?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it warped it for me a little bit.
No. No, I think that's a perfect way to watch Surf Ninjas.
That's right. Concussed.
Yeah.
All right, so since we're starting back up, guys, John, this is up to you, but since we went 3-2-1, can we do the traditional fantasy league, like where you go 3-2-1, then like, you know, the number third goes 1-2-3, you know what I'm saying? So can I start this one?
You want to reverse it?
Or yeah, can we do it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's fair. You really want to open. You got something good lined up.
Yeah, because I'm kind of annoyed at myself for going the invisible guy and the dude who punches people in nuts. So
they're good picks.
So like my QB is you know, I was going to go with either Johnny Utah or Shane Falco, but then I started thinking, and I'm like, my QB is John Wick.
Oh, nice.
Because no one is going to want to steal from him. No one's going to want to intercept the ball. No one's going to want to kill a play. Now, the reason I picked him is because when he retires, remember when Brett Favre retired and then he went to, I think, the Jets and he went to the Vikings, I think it was?
Yeah.
So when John Wick retires and then he comes back to playing football, he already has a perfect line. Are you back, John Wick? Yeah. I'm thinking I'm back.
You think that's what Brett Favre said? It's like, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my – I want to see Keanu Reeves. We know he has he's a cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm thinking John Wick is quarterback because no one's going to want to mess with him.
I could see like John Wick, like he's in the pocket. Like a D lineman is running at him, John Wick just gives him really serious stiff arm, and the dude is just dazed, and John Wick is just standing there like scanning the field, like throws a pass, and then he finishes off the dude.
It's like the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, and like I love how everyone was like, "Are you back?" Remember that bouncer in John Wick? Are you back? Yeah, and he's like, "Oh." So everyone
that was Kevin Nash.
Yeah, Kevin Nash. So like, Kevin Nash was afraid of him. So everybody in that league is gonna be like, is he really back? Crap. We're going to lose like three teammates this year because of John Wick. So, yeah, that's my pick for QB.
Nice.
So with the nut punchers and invisible guys.
So for my third pick, I'm going with my ultimate movie bro crush. I got to go with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, boy.
I'm going Ryan Reynolds. I'm thinking of Ryan Reynolds back in his Amityville Blade 2 days when he kind of bulked up a bit, but he stayed really, really lean. And with The Rock, I was talking about him kind of putting on weight, whereas I want to keep Reynolds lean because he's like 6'3", like 210, 215. He is fast and both quick-witted and fast on his feet. I think he'd make a great wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he had the hands.
Yeah.
Like he was a vampire.
He's got he's got the showboarding personality of a wide receiver too.
Yeah, for sure. He would do some weird for sure.
He would you imagine like his end zone dances? They'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's all pithy. You know, he'd be talking smack to everybody. Oh, you know, he would always do like when he got the first down, do that stupid thing first down. So I think he'd be lighting people up.
And I'd really like to see his quippiness on the field with LL Cool J, and then The Rock would have his one-liners, but they'd be a little more wholesome.
Wait, so no, but if he's Pain in the Gain Rock, right, then wouldn't he be, like, loaded up on steroids?
Yeah, but don't forget, that character, even though that character was the most jacked up, he was also the most, like, sweetest. He was the sweetest of the guys.
So he's like a Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant for the Cowboys needs, like, 24-7, like, someone to watch him.
Yeah.
So he would have to have people watching him 24-7 to keep him off drugs.
Oh, poor The Rock. It's fantasy football, though. It's okay.
Well, you saw what happened to him in that movie. He needs.
I did, yeah. Actually, before we knew it, he was grilling hands.
The dude can be swayed.
You don't want to compare him to Dez Bryant. You don't want to compare him to Dez Bryant, because Dez Bryant is currently out for, like, a couple weeks. Yeah.
Imagine if John Wick was a QB or Bill Murray. Like, they're not going to mess with either of them.
Yeah.
I love it. All right.
Laz, what's your third round pick?
Okay, so they say, like, a good wide receiver has good hands.
Uh-oh.
But
I already took Ryan Reynolds. I'm sorry.
I challenge that notion. Like, why does he have to have good hands? Why? Maybe he could just have, like, one really good mouth, like a big mouth. So for my wide receiver, I'm going with the Sarlacc pit from Return of the Jedi. I'm thinking, like, you know, just have the Sarlacc pit just kind of post up in the end zone. So, like, whenever they're in the red zone, just throw in the corner, and a Sarlacc pit will literally just swallow up the ball. And also any other defenders. Also,
maybe a great offensive lineman.
I want to see this huddle. I want to hear, just hear. I don't even need to see it, because they're huddling around the Sarlacc pit so they don't fall into it and he eats them. But
well, no,
so,
like,
during this huddle,
he wouldn't be in the huddle.
Would Sarlacc eat his teammates?
Oh, no, he wouldn't be.
Not
that's why he wouldn't be in the huddle.
You just fall in.
I would just tell the Sarlacc pit, just stay in the corner in the end zone, like, as far as you can. And then, like,
the Sarlacc pit is half of the playing field.
Right. That's why he's a good thing to throw to. You know?
Like,
he'll get the ball every time. And also other things, most likely.
But during the huddle,
he'll get the ball. He'll swallow the defender. He'll swallow the referees. He'll swallow the cheerleaders. He'll swallow, like, half the stand.
Listen, sorry, like, no end zone dances time, because you killed half of Oakland's fans last year.
Yeah. It's I think that would be a good teammate.
The Sarlacc. He's an old favorite of the pod.
Yeah.
That's right. Episode 4, Annabelle and the Sarlacc pit. Right.
I do have one guy that I think could defend the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, yeah?
And that is my next. It's my pick, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. My next pick is Keith David from either They Live or The Thing.
All right.
This is a guy who, you know, has been in the longest fight, the best fight in cinema history. He has survived alongside Kurt Russell in The Thing. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, he does get killed in They Live. But this is a dude who is always going to be there. And if one person could guard the Sarlacc pit, it would be Keith David. He would be like, I'm just going to do it. Like, he would get it done somehow. I bet he would intercept the pass from the Sarlacc pit. I do.
Well, I mean, it honestly wouldn't
Did
be that
Did he fall
hard.
Into the Sarlacc pit after he intercepted
they
the
would
pass?
Climb out of the Sarlacc pit. They'd be buddies, and they go get a beer.
Listen, the Sarlacc pit, he's not like an agile guy. You know, he's just he's just there.
It's kind of up to the quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback, like, he has to throw it in a place where only a Sarlacc pit can get it, or where, like, the defender will fall into the Sarlacc pit.
I just think Keith David could do it. I mean, I love him and They Live and The Thing. I think he'd be a perfect defender. Let Roddy Piper join him and Kurt Russell from Jack Burton, Roddy Piper, and Keith David as linebackers. Boom.
All right. There you go.
All right.
There you
go. It's a good pick. Keith David. He, you know, he's one of the, like, less prominent actors of the 80s and then into the 90s. So that's actually a really good pick. I like that.
I'm weird. I lean towards, like, John Leguizamo, Matthew Lillard. Like, I like the supporting actors.
All right. Well, my fourth round pick is not necessarily some A-lister that everyone knows, but he is typically the star of his movies. I'm going with Scott Adkins.
Right on.
I want Scott Adkins because when he bulked up for Scott Adkins anyway, because he's not a big guy. He's like 5'10", 5'11". He typically runs 170, 175. But when he played Boyka in Undisputed 2 and 3 and the purported Undisputed 4, he went up to about 183 pounds. And I mean lean pounds. I think this guy would be a super fast flipping over your head with somersaults cornerback. And I'm picking Scott Adkins.
Cornerback?
Cornerback.
You're not going to outjump him.
No.
He would kick a ball out of the air.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he would literally, like, flip over. Wait, you.
I have a question, though. Would the coach get mad, like, Scott, you know you could have intercepted that, right? You didn't have to do a triple spin kick and then kick the ball into their mascot. Like, you probably could have got a pick six for that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. Scott Adkins is...
He just looks at you. Because he doesn't talk much in those movies either. He'd just be like, I just got out of prison. I got out of prison because I won a undisputed fist fight. All right. Yeah. Scott Adkins. Yeah. Dude, he's awesome. That kick he delivers in that movie is... I think I've watched that 170 times.
Every like kick... Every kick from every movie is fantastic.
That dude can kick.
Yeah. I liked when he like tossed up the knife, and then he kicked it into the guy's chest in Expendables 2 when he was JCVD's lackey.
I want to see those two get into a kicking fight, like just like a Rochambeau. It's like, ugh, that would be the most brutal fight ever.
We once said JCVD could power an entire house by spin kicks. So imagine what the two of them could do.
Oh man,
together
they would solve the energy crisis.
I mean. Keith Richards will be perfect in perfect shape.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
not you know how like in that old like Nintendo and arcade game from like the 80s, Rampage, when you're like either like the Godzilla Lizard Man or you're the Wolfman thing, and you're punching the building, and when you punch enough of the bottom of the building, it collapses on itself.
Yeah.
Well, imagine that happening after two Tasmanian devils of kick flurries, which are JCVD and Scott Adkins, come from either side. It's almost like they just eat away the whole lower level like a beaver or something on a tree. And then the building just comes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen those Undisputed movies or Universal Soldier
Regeneration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Scott Adkins is really good in those.
Yeah, he earns his paycheck. That's for sure.
Yeah. He's a direct-to-DVD hero.
I just imagine him, like, kicking his paycheck to the bank teller. You forgot to sign this. Oh, sorry. Here you go.
Boom. Who you got next, John?
Okay, so the next position that I'm drafting for is linebacker. I had a tough one with this. Okay, I'll tell you guys. I don't know if this is cheating or not, but I'm going to tell you guys my original pick for linebacker, and that
is it. King Kong, because you went with a monster last time.
John Favreau from The Replacements.
No, hey, the Sarlacc is not a monster. That's
Godzilla.
That's just hurtful. But
Hull.
No, for a linebacker, I actually chose Tony Jaa
because
I think it would be awesome to see him just vault over the offensive line and just kind of knee the quarterback in the face, or like just like. Do like a spinning spinning elbow to like a running back as he turns the corner, like ah.
And you would have to watch it three times because in the first Unbok movie they replay every cool stunt he does.
No, yeah, it would be SportsCenter. They would just kind of like play each replay like three times in slow mo. But I thought about it. I'm just like, you know, I've been trying to avoid going with the obvious pick, but I feel like I just had to go. I had to this time. Like, sorry, Tony Jaa. Like, I'm putting you on the bench. In favor of Adam Sandler in The Waterboy and Bobby Boucher.
That's a good
deal, yeah.
You gotta go with the people who can win you the game. I feel like Bobby Boucher can get the job done. Not to say that Tony Jaa couldn't, but I just, you know, when you're the coach, you gotta make some tough decisions. So
you know, Laz, so you took earlier. You took Paul Walker. Now he was not my main picks, but he was one of my backups.
Yeah.
And now, as it turns out, Tony Jaa was specifically my fifth pick I had everything my way. Nice. And you just stole him. I wanted him.
Well, no, you can still take him. You can still take him. He's not my starter. So
it doesn't. You took him. You took him on the draft. I can't pick him now. But I was thinking that how amazing he'd be on play fakes too with his like corkscrews. He can do all the Jackie Chan stunts.
And plus, my assistant coach is Farmer Fran from Waterboy. Good day. He did.
You know, it's Mark. You just brought that up. I just want to say that my coach, which is current Arnold Schwarzenegger, He is no nonsense, and his offense coordinator is Peter Berg, and our strength and conditioning coach is Ving Rhames.
My coach is Kurt Russell from Miracle.
No.
Ooh.
Okay, come on.
All right, so
no one's going to mention Gene Hackman from The Replacements.
Oh, come yeah. on. You know, that. I love how he gets down and he cheats. He'll put, like, you know, like what, sticky stuff on people's hands.
It's like, what are they going to do? Take you to football jail?
I love Bobby Boucher because he wrecked people. But oh, yeah. So my running back, this is going to be the weirdest pick of all, but it's going to be Laurie Strode from Halloween. Because
what?
She survived Michael Myers, an unstoppable killing force that Death from Final Destination couldn't conquer. I mean, this guy has faked death so many times. And, you know, Halloween Resurrection doesn't count, so she didn't die in that. So this is a woman who has the most evil brother of all time, and she still managed to, like, escape. She runs constantly from Michael Myers. And at Halloween H2O, she's like, you know what? I've had enough. She goes head-to-head. You know, LL Cool J gets wiped out. She goes head-to-head with Michael. They engage in a thumb war, chops off somebody's head. Turns out, well, you know what? I'm going to say it was him because Halloween Resurrection didn't happen. This is a woman that's been running her entire life. So she's not going to – she could care less about, you know, Bobby might tackle her a couple – you know what? Bobby's going to get 8 tackles on her, but she's going to keep getting up and just keep running. Like, her cardio is going to wear down defenses.
So, Mark, we probably do have a few listeners that are age 13 to 23. Who exactly is Laurie Strode?
Laurie Strode is the final girl from Halloween, and that's Jamie Lee Curtis. She basically escaped from one of the most nameless, evil, unexplained, until the reboot, characters of all time. So Jamie Lee Curtis is one of the classic survivors of horror history.
Yeah, for all those Kinder listeners out there, I believe she plays what like a house mother or a dean in that new TV show Scream Queens.
Yeah, she's good. And you know, like
her mother was also Janet Leigh from Psycho. So
that's right. And I was going to mention Fish Called Wanda because she's awesome in that, but no one's going to know about Fish Called Wanda.
I know about Fish Called Wanda, Mark, and as long as I know, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean True Lies, but that's still 21 years ago. Jeez Louise. All right, well, Jamie Lee Curtis, jeez. Oh, man, Freaky Friday, I don't know. Yogurt commercials. But
Terror Train. Yeah. Terror Train, 1984. All the listeners know that one.
Laurie Strode from Halloween, because she just ran from Michael Myers for 50 years.
Well, I'm not – you didn't go for a steal on me with Jamie Lee Curtis. I definitely wasn't thinking of her. But that's a great pick, as it turns out. And Lazavath stole my Tony Jaa, so now...
Well, he's still on the board. I took Bobby Boucher.
He's so damaged goods.
Yeah.
I'm going with Nathan Jones.
Oh.
Nathan Jones is a 6'11", 390-pound Australian wrestler and bodybuilder. He played Rictus in the recent Mad Max Fury Road. He played the giant Muay Thai fighter in the movie Giant Muay Thai Fighter. He was one of the bad guys, the big, bald, white guy who was a bad guy, and Tony Jaa's The Protector, so I know he can pull good deeds against Tony Jaa.
That's right.
And this dude, I mean, he's just a huge force. And the least obscure movie, for those of you other than Mad Max Fury Road, for those of you who don't know who Nathan Jones is, he's in the new horror movie Charlie's Farm, and he's also the guy who Brad Pitt kills in the opening fight of Troy.
That's his main role right there.
Boagrius.
But you don't want to talk about that because he goes down like...
Yeah, but he was still scary as hell before Brad Pitt killed him with one swipe.
He gets dropped like third period French Ocean's 11.
I remember like before that fight though, like he was talking to that kid. That kid was like, I'm so scared. And Brad Pitt, like he was like, that's why no one will ever remember your name. I'm like, dude, that's a kid. So, whoa.
Dude, this was Greek time of war, man.
Just take a chill pill, man.
And Brad Pitt, he had just woken up from bedding some random woman the night before. Like, he was busy spreading his seed of demigods across Greece.
Wait, so what's Nathan Jones doing?
Nathan Jones for me? He's a defensive tackle.
I like it.
Nice.
Him and The Rock could be on one side just wrecking havoc on people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In The Rock, I mean, he's super powerful on his own. But Nathan Jones, so he's older now, right? He's like 45 now. But back in The Protector, he was more like 32. And he was 6'11", 390 with a six-pack. And the same thing goes for Troy. Imagine if you put on 20 pounds of fat for him, a little extra, you know, just old-fashioned horsepower like Rocky Balboa.
Yeah,
like, he'd be a beast.
I think he would. He could just crush a whole line. You couldn't stop him if he had a running start of even three steps.
Nice.
You know, I just had a vision of the Sarlacc pit running down the field and it looking like the Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that was his
that's
highlight
the football
reel.
Field. That's
it
what
was
happens.
His highlight reel.
All right, so
Kevin Bacon injected the Sarlacc pit with his invisibility serum, and that's what happened in the Dark Knight. Was the Sarlacc was invisible running across the field?
Yeah.
I feel why would the Sarlacc pit need to be invisible though? Like you're still
to be
causing,
extra jerky.
I just feel like you could tell what a Sarlacc pit is like at all times. You don't need to see him.
All right, so whose pick is it now?
It's Lazavat's final pick. It's the final pick of the movies, films, and flicks.
I already used mine. I already used my fifth pick.
Yeah,
that was your fifth pick.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say the. I was gonna do my kickoff guys were the zombies from 28 Days Later.
No,
you
had your five picks. Okay.
What a game.
So my very final pick and the final pick of the podcast. It's you're going to have to follow me here because, like, I'm kind of skirting the rules. I'm using kind of roundabout logic.
Wait, the Sarlacc pit wasn't skirting the rules?
No, that was totally in the rules.
Hey, we had no rules.
Yeah, just right. Okay, so my next position, I'm drafting a fullback. And the actor I'm choosing, he's mainly known for TV, but he's been in movies, so that's why he still counts.
Is Bradley Garrett.
Ed O'Neill.
Because he got seven touchdowns in one game?
No. Let me tell you. Ed O'Neill as Al Bundy, who scored four touchdowns in a single game for the Polk High Panthers against Andrew Johnson High. The legend himself, Al Bundy. Like, he played fullback, so I gotta go with Ed O'Neill as my fullback.
And if you could do a movie, you could say him from Wayne's World, because they're basically the same character.
Yeah, I'm looking at his IMDb. He's got a...
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, the Bone Collector... Red
Belt. He could have been a former high school player.
Yeah, he's going to be in Finding Dory. Yeah, he's got a really weird filmography. TV is his bread and butter. Modern Family is pretty good. You should check that out.
I love it. I scored four touchdowns in one game.
Yeah, he's my fullback. He could probably get past a Bobby Boucher or a Tony Jaa.
Despite he's got nothing but like old guy. Toughness and attitude, like there are so many articles I see running through Facebook and Twitter and everything that reference Married with Children as one of the shows that wouldn't even make it past the rating boards today.
Oh man. Just goes to show you the sad state of TV today.
Yeah, he'd be poking eyes.
Yeah. Actually, quick fact, Ed O'Neill actually played in the NFL. Well, I don't think he ever started, but he was actually signed to the Steelers around the same time Terry Bradshaw played. So, no, he's got a legit NFL cred.
And he trains in jiu-jitsu, so he's an athlete.
Yeah. No, Ed O'Neill's great. Like, he's athletic. So.
All right, so real quick, I have a couple picks I didn't get out. I got the troll from Ernest Scared Stupid as fullback. The kids from the Maze Runner movies as wide receivers. And then my offensive line would be the sumo from The Replacements, Terry Crews and the Great Khali from Longest Yard, and then Nathan Jones. I had him in there. So those are my guys I didn't get to pick. So that's it.
Yeah.
But I like my 28 Days Later Rage Infected Zombies as my kickoff team, because who's going to want to be on the field with those guys? Like,
I'm just glad no one went with the super obvious picks like Brett Favre from There's Something About Mary or Michael Irvin from The Longest Yard. I'm like, no. Come on, guys.
Because we all know that's lame.
That's right. I'm glad you know what I did. I'm sorry.
The special teams against your Rage Zombie kickoff team? Are they also doing extra points?
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, I'm going with the War Boys from Fury Road, because those dudes would jump with no regard whatsoever for their well-being. They'd spray paint their face and their teeth like silver, and they just jump. My War Boys, I think, can block a couple of your kicks.
Okay, guys. I don't know if you guys kept track, but I just want to run down my team that I drafted real quick.
Yeah.
So my quarterback, Bill Murray. Running back, Paul Walker. Wide receiver, the Sarlacc pit. Linebacker, Adam Sandler, a.k.a. Bobby Boucher. And my fullback is Ed O'Neill, Mr. Four Touchdowns in a single game himself.
I love it. Then I got John Wick as my QB. Mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon as my safety, old brother. Keith David as my linebacker. Jamie Lee Curtis as my running back. And then I had JCVD as, I think, my safety.
Right. And my lineup, in order of relative size, is Nathan Jones, The Rock, LL Cool J, Ryan Reynolds, and Scott Adkins.
So we have an eclectic team here.
Yeah. I think I win by default because of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, no one's going to defeat this.
Yeah.
Well, with the Sarlacc, actually, John Wick and the Sarlacc pit are kind of on the same team then, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of, maybe. I don't know. The Sarlacc pit is just kind of out there for himself. Like, he'll just eat anybody. He'll eat the opponents. He'll eat his defenders. He'll eat the referees.
What if John Wick's dog fell into the Sarlacc pit?
Oh, man.
I know the way the movie works. That automatically means that the Sarlacc pit gets shot to death by John Wick.
That's a movie I want to see.
How many bullets? It would just be like an hour and a half of him shooting a thing.
I would watch that.
It's be one shot to the throat, which means you just see John Wick shoot into the Sarlacc pit.
Okay, here's how the movie ends. After John Wick runs out of ammo after like an hour and a half of straight shooting, he just gets fed up, throws away his guns, and he just jumps straight into the Sarlacc pit. Then he just like just basically punches the heart of the Sarlacc pit until he coughs up John Wick's dog.
Can you do a triple Lindy into the Sarlacc pit?
A Rodney Dangerfield back to school triple Lindy?
That's right. Why not? You're John Wick. You can do whatever you want.
That's right.
Movie is so old. I often wonder when we go into our like our tangent reveries of movie references, like I always feel obligated to say something more so that our very young listeners can like IMDb this shit and be like, okay, John clarified Rodney Dangerfield back to school, and they look it up, they're like, I've never even heard of this.
Robert Downey Jr. is in it.
Apparently. Is he really?
Yep. And he's a son. And Rodney Dangerfield warms up by making those fart noises in his armpit. He goes,
so that was before Weird Science by a few years, right? That was old.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right, guys. Before we sign off, I think it's about that time where we make some plugs. Right? Some plugs.
Yeah.
Some
plugs. Movies, Films, and Flicks. Shark Dropper. Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Movies, Films, and Flicks. Shark Dropper. Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, we're very easy to find on Twitter. It is at Shark Dropper or at Movies, Films, and Flicks. Spelled with X.
At John's Horror Corner?
Oh, at MFF Horror Corner.
At MFF Horror Corner?
If you're just a diehard horror fan, that's my column on Movies, Films, and Flicks.
So most importantly, guys, just do us a favor. If you're a fan of the podcast, you're a fan of what we have, just get on iTunes and just give us a rating and a review. We're just trying to build it up so we can keep this empire going.
Yeah, just give us five stars. Five stars is the only option.
Some people listening, a lot of the people who listen to podcasts are podcasters, and a lot of the people who listen to these are bloggers themselves. If you rate and review us and let us know by a message on Facebook, a message on Twitter, I will listen to or read something of yours and rate it back.
That's right. Guaranteed at least 2 stars.
Yeah.
At least 2 stars out of 14.
You'll never go lower than 1 star.
Oh, and also Jason Statham's mustache from Spry is unbelievable. Rent that movie now.
Yeah. Also check out NFL.com. That's a good place for football news. Don't go to ESPN. Screw ESPN.
And Audible.com. Opened by Andre Agassi.
Yeah. And, that's it. All right, guys.
Wait, can I sing us off?
Yeah.
Wait, you do the thing and I'll sing us off.
Okay. For my co-host Mark Hoffmeyer and my co-host John Levigood, I've been your host John Lasva. Thank you so much for listening. And Mark will sing us out.
You are my fire. No one. Desire, yes, I know it's too late, but I want it that way.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
off the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! 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 This podcast is a Sharp Dropper Studios production.